Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and list full of announcements for you to review. And of course, we have a few announcements this morning from the pulpit. First, if you will look in your bulletin, you will see more information about Christmas Day, which does fall on a Sunday. And we will be celebrating that day here in worship with our comfy Christmas. And you are invited to come in pajamas or other attire that you feel comfortable in. And children are also welcomed and invited to bring quiet toys to play with during the service. It'll be a very child-friendly worship opportunity. And if I have any folks who will be here and would be willing to do a reading part that morning, if you would please let me know or send me an email. Be happy to find a way for you to be included that morning. All right, a few announcements, Peter.
On behalf of the Adult Ed Committee, today is our great Christmas sing-off. And you've seen it on television. This won't be a cappella because Chris Oman has volunteered to play the piano for us. So join us for some songs, old, new, loved ones, and hopefully we'll introduce a couple of new ones to you. Thanks.
Yesterday was the day that we served a meal at St. Joseph's, and everything went very, very well. We served over 60 people, which is a little less than usual, but everybody was very happy to have GPC goulash once again. Usually when you are asked to come up and make an announcement, they say make it very brief. So that was the brief portion. Now there's a little bit of unscripted part. My 30 seconds for mission. If you've never been to St. Joseph's, they can only serve about 48 people at a seating. So usually the dining hall fills up, we serve them, and then there's a second seating. Sometimes when there's food left over, the GPC servers go out and have meal. And yesterday, it dawned on me as I stood back in the kitchen and looked out on the part of the floor where they're eating, that our GPC family was dispersed amongst the guests that had come in for a nice warm meal, and we're all sitting having a nice conversation. We were getting to know them, they were getting to know us, and I think it was a great mission opportunity. So there's a lot more to serving a St. Joseph's meal than just the food portion. So thank you for making it happen, making the volunteering the food, and letting us serve. Come participate sometime. We're going to do it again 4 times next year. Thank you.
Junior highs and senior highs, we have youth group tonight at 6 o'clock. See you then.
Let us now continue our time of worship of our holy God.
Thank you.
It's fine. This morning we light all four candles of the Advent wreath, and I have invited Don and Louise Bernhardt forward with their families to help us do that. Don and Louise? We wait. We long for the Messiah.
With
Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. The Lord is with you.
Even though we wonder, how can this be?
God's presence is always with us.
God's faithfulness remains for all generations.
We rejoice. Our longings are to be fulfilled.
Come, O come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
we can be assured that God is always present with us and always ready to forgive us when we come to God. Let us pray. It is quite perplexing, Holy One of Advent, that we put so much stock in the right ways of knowing, and you choose to reveal a moment of your grace and mercy for which words and intellectual propositions are hopelessly inadequate. God with all of us, regardless of our faith or lack of it. Forgive us when we would rather measure our faith in terms of ideas and truth claims than how we respond to your presence in the midst of what we don't understand. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. The good news is not just announced to all people. It is indeed for all people, for the proud as well as the humble, for the rich and for the poor, for those who have found faith and those who long for it. Our hearts rejoice in the promises, and our souls rejoice in the one who has come to us, bringing restoration, comfort, and hope into our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward.
Who's doing a baptism for the elder?
Make their way forward. I also invite Jameson John Fitzgerald, son of Rob and Christine Fitzgerald, along with Jameson's sisters, Molly and Georgia, and Grandma, up to the font, and also Elder Irene Ward, who will be making the presentation based on from session.
And we will talk after the baptism, but I wanted you to have a good seat to see the baptism.
We like to make sure you all can see.
Obey in the word of our Lord Jesus, and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us all remember with joy our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Jameson John Fitzgerald, son of Rob and Christine Fitzgerald, to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Rob and Christine, do you desire for Jameson to be baptized? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your children?
Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Jameson by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? If so, please say, "We do."
Rob and Christine, in presenting Jameson for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and embrace the covenant God has established to give us new life. As God embraces you within this covenant, I ask you to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize, by answering the following questions. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend, Jameson, to be one of his disciples, to obey his word and to show his love? Let us pray. God, our parent, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Eternal God, you nourish and sustain all living things with the gift of water. Your Spirit hovers and moves, calling forth order and life. May all who splash in these waters experience new life through you. Amen. Jason, you are a child of God, loved by God. This family and this whole church family.
Let us pray. Almighty God, giver of life, you've called us by name and pledged to each of us your faithful love. We pray for your child, Jameson. Watch over him. Guide him as he grows in faith. Give him understanding and a quick concern for neighbors. Help him to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, who has baptized your Son and servant, who is our risen Lord. God of grace, we pray for these parents, Rob and Christine. Help them to show you, to help them to know you, to love with your love, to teach your truth, and to tell the story of Jesus to their child, so that your word may be heard and bring about plans for us you have promised in Jesus Christ our Lord. Holy God, remind us all of us of the promises given in our own baptism and renew our trust in you. Make us strong to obey your will and to serve you with joy. Amen. Please stand and sing Wonders of Wonders. It's page 17 in the Green Book as Melissa introduces you to Jameson.
Thank you.
Christmas is almost here. We've been longing for baby Jesus to be born. We've slowly lit the Advent candles, and today we lit the fourth one. So let's say our prayer together, our poem. We are longing for baby Jesus to come into our world. Our hearts are open, and we are ready to welcome baby Jesus. Wasn't it wonderful this morning to baptize Jameson? Do you know how to spell his name? I'll bet you do. In baptism, we're reminded that God is always present to us and that we belong to God. And on Christmas Day, it's a day to celebrate that God is right here, present and in our world, and God sent Jesus to us to be in our world, to connect us with each other through baptism. So you've done a great job of making this connection chain. It's getting very long. And this week, the women of the church had a large Christmas dinner, and they also connected links to this chain. So it's really getting long. So this morning, we're going to connect some more links to it. I'm going to leave the stapler and the links on the communion table. So after worship, if anybody else wants to come up and add links to our connection chain, they can. Let's have a prayer, and then during the hymn, we'll staple. Thank you, God, for being present in our world. Thank you for the connections we have with your people. Amen. All right. Samantha and Melissa are going to help us again.
Thank you. The first reading of the word this morning comes from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of the rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over all my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever."
And our second reading from the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Last week, my youngest and I were standing in line to see Santa. I was surprised how long the line was for a Friday morning, but we stood and we watched as parents and grandparents fussed over their little ones, making sure that cowlick was laying down and the ruffles from the pretty Christmas dress were in place. For apparently this has become a major photo opportunity with the big guy. We listened as Christmas carols played, and then were intermittently interrupted by piercing screams. At first, I thought to myself, well, it's par for the course. Lots of little ones who are missing those morning naps. And then we rounded the corner, and I realized these weren't tired screams. These were terror screams. It seems that for many small children, the idea of Santa is much better than being forced onto his lap. And I wondered, didn't these parents and grandparents see the movie The Polar Express? When the train finally arrives at the North Pole and they're lining up to see Santa, Billy, the poor loner of the group, is still on the train, and a boy and girl ask the conductor about him. The conductor says, "No one is forced to see Santa." I just don't quite understand why people make their kids sit on Santa's lap. I don't understand it really any more than I understand why we force each other into the holly jolliness of this time of year. Now, here's where preachers might insert their annual rant against the secularization of Christmas. And by the laughs and the head nods, I'm sure I would get some agreement, maybe even an amen if I was particularly convincing this morning. But I'll be honest, I'm not really against the elf on the shelf, light shows set to music, eggnog, or especially cookies. What leaves me mystified is, why do we force this stuff on each other? Neighbors string up strand after strand of lights to outdo the next door neighbors, but they can barely afford to pay the bill that such a show produces. Family gatherings that announce everyone will bring a $25 gift for the gift exchange, and just assume that a family of four can afford $100 for this family tradition. And parents that coerce screaming children onto poor Santa's lap, can't they just send a letter? And we laugh. But sometimes the church isn't much better. We join in this time of year when the promises of God's love and grace in the coming of Jesus are awesome and beautiful. When the cry of peace on earth and goodwill to all people echo from the night sky. And yet, even in this environment, people manage to turn that peaceful Bethlehem stable into a battlefield. The senseless wars of whether faceless corporations say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Why do we fight over what can be displayed on government property, over how public schools should celebrate religious holidays? Why? And I especially find the whole snarly arguments of putting the Christ back into Christmas a tad counterproductive to the peace on earth that Jesus brings. So there's my rant. But before Jesus, as a child, came bringing that peace, it was the angel Gabriel who brought the news of his birth to a young girl in a small village. The dialogue in our text from Luke this morning is pretty sparse. And for me, only raises questions. Did Mary have a choice to accept the news that the angel Gabriel came to announce to her? Biblical commentators wrestle, especially with the question of Mary's acceptance, or is it surrender? And what is she accepting? An invitation? A request? Just an FYI from God? Some information about what's going to happen to her? In a lovely sermon on the text, Mothers of God, Barbara Brown Taylor observes that the angel did not ask her if she would like to be the mother of God. The angel told her. The angel did not ask her how that sounded or whether she'd like to try out for the role. He told her. And if theologians have it right, Mary's obedient response came from a knowledge that the Messiah, the long promise to the faithful Jews like her, was going to come to pass, yet with no assurance from this angel's prediction was the one thing that mattered. There had been many predictions of the Messiahs before. This Mary is one who was willing to face ridicule or shame. Ridicule or shame. In a culture where pregnant, unmarried women faced rejection, outcast from the family or community. But the Mary that I have come to know through these few verses and the later verses that follow in Luke is not one who answered, "Whatever you say, God," but was one who was perplexed, who pondered her response, and took time before replying. And that's an astonishing thing, something unimagined, but which may have been true, is that God waited with her. God waited for Mary's response. God longed for her yes. During these weeks of Advent, we have been talking a lot about our longings for the coming of the Christ child. And I had never really thought about God longing for Mary. Of not being so absolutely sure that this was going to work out, that she was really going to say yes. This is in some ways God's advent, God longing for Mary to say yes to the announcement of the terrifyingly wonderful news. It's just a few short verses. And we speed right through them looking for Mary's response. But when the angel first appears to her, the angel says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." I imagine the space, the time after that announcement took longer than we give it. Don't you think that Mary needs a little bit of time to take everything in? What's happening? There's an angel in front of her. And the angel tells her she is favored, blessed, chosen, and that God is with her. And I believe that the angel gives her some time to take in what all of this means. And we know by what the angel says next that Mary isn't jumping for joy. Poet Cheryl Lowry captures the possibility of this pause moment in her poem, "For All We Know." She writes, For all we know, before Mary sang her song of joy, she wept tears of frustration, despair, and heartbreak. I like to think she did. For all we know, before Mary welcomed God's action with delight, she fought what was happening to her, and she resented the presumption of the divine. For all we know, for at least a moment, and probably longer, Mary was bewildered, distraught, and lost. The miracle we celebrate today may somehow seem more impossible than the idea that Mary got pregnant or that God became human. It's that in the face of devastation and from deep within the truth of heartbreak and desolation, there might still come, unbidden, a moment of joy. There isn't one way the angel, or God for that matter, expected Mary to feel in reaction to the news that she will conceive and bear a son, that she will name him Jesus, that he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. Mary was confused and afraid and wondered exactly how all of this was going to happen, given that she was a virgin. And so before the yes she offers in the verses we call the Magnificat, Mary pauses and wonders, how can this be? She wanted to know exactly whose idea it was and how it was going to happen. She wanted to make sense out of something that made no sense, that God decided to surrender God's self to flesh and blood, but that God needed her help, needed her surrender as well, in order to make possible God's own. How can this be? Mary asked. And that is all she asked. But we imagine with her all the many questions running through her head. And we rest with her, struggle with her, as she takes the time she needs to take in God's plan for her life, the life of her yet-to-be-married fiancé, Joseph, and the life that will be growing inside of her. And we wait, longing to participate with God in a future where salvation is created among us. As we find ourselves in the midst of this story on this fourth Sunday of Advent, longing for God's presence to be near to us, our reactions, our emotions about what that means for our lives are not prescribed. Advent isn't about merry this or happy that. Christmas is not about forcing people to believe in something. Incarnation is not about the powerful taking over the weak. It is about longing for God's presence that is with us in all that we are, The questions we have, our disappointments, what we hope for, what we struggle with, and what we dream to believe. It's about God longing with us to do great things in this world. And so let it be with us according to God's will.
Thank you.
Amen. At this time, we invite those who have prayers of joy, prayers of concern. If you would like to share them out loud, the ushers will be by with microphones. Raise your hand high so we can see you.
Carrie Dykes, I'd like to ask some prayers for my father who's undergoing some tests for colon cancer.
Tracy Berkovich, like to ask prayers for a coworker who is having breast cancer surgery on Wednesday. So prayers that she comes through that okay and then has to make some decisions on follow-up medical procedures after that.
Dorothy Munt, Marge Woods would just like to thank everybody for, I guess, get well cards and Christmas cards, and she's doing well.
Dorit Crosdale, I would like to ask for prayers for a very close friend who was just diagnosed with lung cancer.
I'm Heather Kiesel, and I would like to thank Adrian for coming to my grandmother's service at such a short notice. We lost her on December 6th, and I want to have prayers said for my father, Rich Balmer. He's having a hard time with it. And I would also like to have prayers for people around this time of year. It's not easy for everybody. And so just prayers for people to have a little comfort during the Christmas season.
Allison Tuttle, I have a really good family friend that has breast cancer, so prayers for her.
I'd like continued prayers for Fred Buff. We hope that he'll be in a rehab unit recovering from his stroke. It was not a paralyzing stroke that affects his walking. And also, I was speaking with Marge Westfall yesterday, and she said Jack's been kind of wobbly lately. Could we pray for him?
Sure.
Thank you.
I would like to thank everybody for their cards and prayers for my sister that passed away.
Prayers for you and your family, too.
Betty Blystone, I'd like to thank everybody for the thoughts and prayers, for the cards, the visits. I'm finally making some progress in recovery. But we have a great church family. I really appreciate everybody. Thanks.
Janice Bilalovic, I just like prayers for George. He's having tests on Tuesday.
Prayers.
Linda Sidori, as we baptized Jameson today, it reminded me of this wonderful congregation who has promised to help guide and nurture our young children. And we have so many wonderful people in this church who have done that. And we are blessed. And I just want to say thank you to all the people who have embraced our children.
Amen.
Sue Mancini, I'd like prayers for a member of this congregation who has adult leukemia and is fighting the treatments. He is not willing to do the chemo. So I'd like prayers for him as he struggles with what direction he's going, and he is really struggling and needs the prayers of everyone here. Thank you.
Chris Oman, I'd like prayers for a member of the singing group that I direct. Ron Horton is his name. Ron is in the final stages of pancreatic cancer. And a lot of our group today, this afternoon, has been able to find time during this very busy time. We're going to go up and sing with him and for him. And so just prayers for him and Carrie and their family and anyone in this finding themselves in this position at this time especially. Thank you.
And we also gather our prayers. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
Well, very early this morning over in Kuwait, the last truck from the American U.S. Involvement in Iraq rolled across the border. And only history, I guess, will kind of judge whether this all made sense or not in the end. But I think we need to reflect and not let that moment go unnoticed. It's been nearly 10 years of war over there.
And people from this own our own church congregation have had sons and daughters, grandsons, son-in-laws, people that they love go there and serve. It's cost us 4,500 American lives, over 500 coalition. How many more thousands have come back injured, maimed, sick? And we can't forget over 125,000 Iraqi citizens who lost their lives and their families and what it's meant to that country. And so I think it's a time to reflect upon that and just keep everybody that's been affected by that in our prayers. And let's hope that peace does come out of it. And we ask for God's guidance.
And our prayers from our children this morning. Prayers for a sister who got hurt at work. Prayers for a grandma and grandpa's safe travel. Prayers from one of our third and fourth graders who has a cold and is looking to get better. Prayers for a grandma who is sick. Prayers of joy welcoming Jameson in baptism to our church family. Prayers of joy that we can wear pajamas at school on Friday and in church on Sunday. That is a joy. And lots of prayers of concern that there isn't any snow. Let us continue our time prayer together. Holy God, as the end of Advent nears and our longing for your presence grows, we join with Mary in working out how we will join you in your inbreaking in this world to reveal love and grace and peace that is for all people. The mercy you show, gracious God, is from generation to generation, and our hearts break with yours over lives lost needlessly in senseless wars, in violent encounters between ethnic or tribal groups, in drive-by shootings, over children starving in the Sudan, in northern Kenya, in Bangladesh, in countries whose names and locations we barely know. Help us to be mindful, loving God, of the ways in which our daily choices as individuals, as nations, impact the rest of our sisters and brothers around this incredible planet. O God, our sovereign, we know that you look with special compassion upon the poor, the needy, the lonely, the outcast, the grieving, the refugee, the political prisoner. Wherever they may be in this world, O God, fill us with the knowledge that you expect us to reflect the same compassion and caring, not only at this time of year, but always. Keep us honest, Holy One, in our service and in our living, that our lives may be true reflections of the one whose name we claim to bear. As we confess our failures, loving God, breathe into us the strength, the wisdom, the willingness to stand in solidarity with those working for justice and peace and freedom throughout the world. As we go deep within our hearts of prayer, as we lift our voices and rededicate our lives, may we say with Mary, "Here I am, servant of the Lord, and let it be according to your word." God, we offer all of these prayers in the name of your Son, who has promised to be with us, and the prayer he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. And now we give. We give to others, we give back to God a portion of the blessings that have been entrusted to us. Let us worship with our morning offering.
Let's offer our thanks for these gifts. Heavenly Father, we bring these tithes and offerings as a token of our thankfulness for your continued blessings upon us. Help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Please accept them and multiply their effectiveness so that your will may be accomplished. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our final hymn for this morning, People Look East. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 5. Let us raise our voices. that Jesus is coming, and we invite you to celebrate the proclamation of those words of his arrival in scripture and song on Christmas Eve at 4:30, a child and family-friendly service, and then the traditional candle lighting service at 8 p.m. Please join us as we go from this place. Our longings are to be fulfilled. Let us go together. Amen.